The new motion picture, Love Actually, opens in the arrivals lounge of Heathrow Airport. People from all over the world in suit coats, saris, and running shoes, coming and going, opening and closing chapters in their lives. You see hugs and tears, while a voiceover observes that if you set your eyes to see it, love actually abounds. Love Actually is the latest ensemble comedy from many of the same people who made Four Weddings and a Funeral and Notting Hill. Which is to say, Hugh Grant is in a new film written by Richard Curtis, who also directs his first film. In the scene, a character played by Liam Neeson tries to console his stepson, well, whose mother has died.
Truth is, I'm in love.
Sorry?
I know I should be thinking about Mum all the time, and I am. But the truth is, I'm in love. And I was before she died, and there's nothing I can do about it.
Aren't you a bit young to be in love?
No.
Oh, okay, right. Well, I mean, I'm a little relieved.
Why?
Well, because I thought it would be something worse.
Worse than the total agony of being in love?
No, you're right. Yeah, total agony.
Child, by the way, is Thomas Sangster. Remember that name. Love Actually has an all-star ensemble that includes Emma Thompson and Alan Rickman, Colin Firth, Laura Linney, and Keira Knightley, Bill Nighy, Martine McCutcheon, and Billy Bob Thornton, and as always, Rowan Atkinson. The director, Richard Curtis, joins us from New York. Thanks so much for being with us.
It's a pleasure.
And how do you see this fitting in with your other films that we cited?
This is the next nine, all squished into one. I decided they were taking me too long. So I thought I'd squeeze in the next 30 years' worth of filmmaking into one film.
As a writer by trade, and of these films we've cited previously, this is the first time you directed it. Do you feel as if finally you get the director you deserve?
Do you know, the thing is, I felt so sorry for the directors that I thought if anyone's going to have to deal with this difficult writer, it might as well be me.
What do you learn about directing from writing that you applied here that maybe somebody coming from a different background would have a different take on?
The thing that surprised me was having to deal with the different methods of the actors, how they came to their best performance. I remember when I used to watch actors just from the writer's chair, I'd always be frustrated they didn't do it exactly as I wanted. And as a director, I paid much more attention to how some are brilliant at first, others are slowly honing their performance, others try different things all the time. I found that quite exciting.
Yeah. Hugh Grant, as I think is pretty well known now, plays the Prime Minister of Great Britain. And he has a crush on the office tea girl.
You live with your husband, boyfriend, three illegitimate but charming children.
No, I've just split up with my boyfriend, actually, so I'm back with my mum and dad for a while.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's fine. He said no one's going to fancy a girl with thighs the size of big tree trunks. Not a nice guy, actually.
You know, being Prime Minister, I could just have him murdered.
I must say, if Hugh Grant read the phone book, I would crack up. What's his power with a line?
One, he understands what the joke is. And two, he's extremely unhappy until he gets it right. And he mainly gets it right by, as it were, relaxing into it. But he's the only actor I know who demands more takes. Most actors secretly think they've done it perfectly. And the moment the director says, let's move on, they move on with joy. But Hugh says, no, I know, we haven't got it. We did it better in rehearsal or something like that.
Now, I've read accounts that the two of you working together, that he can be cheeky with you.
He's not cheeky to me. He's just downright rude. he won't do what I say. He was furious I chose to direct him on how to act. And on this film, for instance, you know, he did say, give the guy a bit more authority. I think he thought I was trying to make him, you know, play the puppy dog prime minister all the time. And he wanted to give him a bit of backbone. And I think that was a brilliant contribution.
You do have a scene set in the United States.
Yes.
Which is hilarious. It's a character named Colin who figures that English women don't appreciate him. And what he really needs to do is go to somewhere in the United States where they find his accent irresistible.
Well, yeah, no, he with clearly insane optimism, spends all the money he's ever earned flying to what he's heard is a great state, the state of Wisconsin. And he believes that every single bar in America contains 10 girls more attractive than the entire United Kingdom. And he turns up in Wisconsin, and it turns out he's right.
Where are you staying?
I don't actually know.
Guess I'll just check into a motel like they do in the movies.
Oh my god, that is so cute.
No, listen. This may be a bit pushy because we just met you, but why don't you come back and sleep at our place?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, it's not too much of an inconvenience.
Hell no. Yeah. But there's one problem.
What?
We just have a little bed and no couch. So you'd have to share with all three of us.
It's actually all about the fact that when I left school at 18, I came to America for 6 months with just that hope in mind. But I spent my entire time with 50-year-old friends of my mother giving me iced tea. I never saw a cleavage in the entire 3-month visit.
What are some of the challenges and some of the joys about working ensemble?
Basically, it was a great joy. It was lovely for me as a first-time director because everything was the honeymoon period. You know, you only had 10 days with each actor. And before they realized I didn't know what I was doing, they were gone.
I do want to ask you about the relationship you show between Emma Thompson and Alan Rickman. They are a longtime married couple with a couple of kids. And it's a very realistic portrayal that sometimes makes people squirm. It's not that their marriage is bad. It's not even that it's stale. It's just that they've begun to take each other for granted a bit.
Yeah, I mean, one of the reasons I was so glad to do this film is that it's a long time since I fell in love for the first time, which is what my other movies have been about. And, of course, now I'm starting to see all these basic truths, you know, that people are worrying about their children, that there's always a member of every family who complicates the history of that family, and that marriages go through ups and downs, and you've got 30 years of negotiation and love songs, as Paul Simon said. So, it was interesting to just look at something so plain, in a way, as just a couple in their living room, which Emma and Alan are a lot of the time.
Well, that was a good night. Except I felt fat.
Don't be ridiculous.
It's true. Nowadays, the only clothes I can get into were once owned by Pavarotti.
I always think Pavarotti dresses very well.
Mia is very pretty.
Is she?
You know she is, darling. Be careful there.
I was impressed by the fact that you settled for the middle level and the middle tones here. This was not a love story of a couple that was breaking up. They weren't confronting each other dramatically with tales of deceit, so much as they were confronting together, in a sense, a challenge to get over something.
Well, I think, you know, one of the things about a Christmas movie and love at Christmas is I always think of it as a decisive time. You always, you know, that's the moment you declare your love. But the truth of love in action is that it takes a long time and it sort of moves slowly. And that's what Emma and Alan was about, the sort of unfolding of sorrow in a gentle way when there's so much at stake. And, it, you know, that's why I needed two of England's greatest actors, because it had to be done in quite little ways.
How did you get so many A-list actors together for this?
Well, the wonderful thing about the sort of film this was is that nobody had to make a major commitment, because we accommodated many of the actors within a week. You know, we did Billy Bob in 2 days, and I think Emma was in and out in 6 days. And, you know, once you get one good person, the others tend to follow. You know, Emma was keen to do the part because I talked to her about it in advance, and then, you know, Alan loves Emma very much, so, you know, did it in a way for her. So I think that it was easy to say yes in this case.
Well, Mr. Curtis, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you very much. Very good to talk to you.
Speaking with us from New York, Richard Curtis, who is the screenwriter and the director of the new film, Love, Actually. And this is Weekend Edition Saturday, directed by Sarah Beyer Kelly, actually, and produced by Charlie Mayer, Ed McNulty, Bridget McCarthy, Darcy Bacon, Julia Bailey, Evie Stone, Janae Williams, and Lauren Spohr. Our editor this week is Marcus Rosenbaum. Our technical director is Kevin Langley, so ably assisted by Tom Carpenter, Sherry Marshevsky, and Greg Gavin. Tom, good to have you back, man. Our librarians are Kim Oleski, Alphonse Veen, and Janelle Farrell. The senior editor is Gwendolyn Tompkins, and the senior producer of Weekend Edition Saturday is Peter Breslow. I'm Scott Simon.